Good Sunday morning. No BS women. I am Coach Kathy. I am so glad to be here today. Okay, it's June 1st, first day of the month. We've got a new focus that you all know is my jam, my jam. We have Coach Lisa with us today. The amazing Coach Lisa. She will be in the Q&A and in the chat with you. And I'm very grateful that she's here. So here's how today's gonna roll. Okay. Since we are diving into emotional eating, Yasmin has asked me to teach you just a little snippet that's gonna get you started. And then we are going to answer questions and coach, okay, for I don't know, 90 minutes, couple hours, however long y'all need me. Okay. So, first, before we get started, since it is June 1st, I want to remind you this month is emotional eating. In your newsletter today, you got some pretty clear instructions about how Corinne wants you to handle the course this month. So, if you did not get your newsletter, I'm going to tell you what the steps are right here. Okay, so step one is to watch lesson one. What is emotional eating? Okay, it's only 6 minutes long. And I want you to know this, we are all emotional eaters. I bet you Coach Lisa is an emotional eater. I know I am an emotional eater. If you love food, if you love your food, that's all it takes, right? That's all it takes to be an emotional eater. If you love food, love is an emotion. So this course this month is going to teach us how to feel emotions and decide whether or not to eat in response to them. So it's going to pull the emotions and the eating apart. Robin is right. Emotional eating is not bad. Okay. It is just something that we need to be aware of so that we can decide in that moment, do we want to eat or do we not? Okay. Step two, watch the second lesson tomorrow and the third one the next day. Let's not binge watch this one. Okay. Corinne has done an amazing job of giving us really, really great emotional eating content. And we want you to watch one lesson a day so that you can absorb the content, so that you can, really, think about what you're listening to and apply it through that day. And of course, each day builds. And I don't remember how many there are, six or seven probably. So it's not going to be like there's 30. There's not one for every day of the month. But you can also go back and re-listen as often as you need to. So step one, watch lesson one today, or when you hear this, or when you decide step one is for you. Step two, wait until the next day to watch the next lesson and the lesson after that, the next day. Step three, ask for help. All the help. I'm in Ask Coaches. Coach Lisa is in Ask Coaches. You've got all the rest of us in Ask Coaches. You've got each other in the Facebook group. I don't want Emotional Eating Month to feel like super heavy or super down for you. I want you to ask questions. I want you to get support. I want you to think about how you want to show up, okay? Because this is really, really important content when it comes to weight loss. Okay, so get all the support you need, whether it's accountability groups, ask coaches, Facebook group, raise your hand on calls, all the things. Now I'm going to add a step four, okay, because this is really, really important in my world, and I think it should be important in yours. Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Central, an hour later than our normal Tuesday night calls, 6 p.m. Central. I'm back with you, and I'm going to teach you a little bit about how your body and your nervous system integrate with emotional eating and urges to eat. Super, super, really biological important information that you're gonna be like, when I heard it, y'all, it's like the top of my head blew off. It's like, really? Not only does it make you normal, helps you understand yourself better. And when your body feels a little bit off, when you feel like you've got a lot of energy and you're super urgy, I'm going to tell you why. When you're down and when you're sad and when you're lonely and you're super urgy, I'm going to tell you why. Okay, and we're going to create some strategies around that to help you work through emotional eating month. Sound good? Give me thumbs up. Give me thumbs up. You're with me. All right. Awesome. 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 Hooray. We're going to start with just a little bit of lesson on what's called grounding. Okay. So, all my yogis out there know what grounding is. All my yoga practitioners know what grounding is. It is feet on the floor. You know, we can get really woo here, or we can just say out of the woo. Okay. So it's feet on the floor, attached to the earth. We are primal beings, y'all. We are still looking for the caveman. We're still acting like the caveman, looking for the danger. We want to feel safe, right? We want to feel settled, supported, strong, rooted, kind of like a tree. Think about a tree in your yard or at the park that's, you know, really solid in the ground, settled, supported, feels really strong, right? That's what grounding does for you. And I'm going to go through some things for you to think about in order to help you ground yourself so that you are ready to feel your emotions and break the attachment from eating. Okay, because I talked about this a couple of months ago on one of the How to Feel the Hard Stuff calls. You can feel two emotions at one time. You can feel grounded, settled, calm, and angry, and sad, and emotional in any kind of way. It is possible for you. Okay, so when you are feeling calm, settled, and grounded, you're able to understand more about what you're feeling outside of that. Whether it's like for me right now, it's anxious, it's nervous. I'm doing a membership call, y'all. Of course, I'm nervous, but I don't feel unsafe about it. I understand it. My energy is up because I want to do a good job for you. I want to do a good job for Corinne. All right. So I can feel grounded and settled and ready and prepared and nervous too. Does that make sense? So I'm gonna give you this was I'm kind of proud of this, I'll just be honest. It's an acronym for ground. Okay, I'm gonna give you, if you think of the word ground, I'm gonna give you an exercise to do or a suggestion to help you learn to ground yourself with each letter of the word ground. Okay? So G, get movement. Who knew? Anybody here know that moving yourself can help ground you? I had a little bit of skin cancer surgery a couple of weeks ago on my leg, and they have limited my activity. I can tell in that 2 weeks I am more nervous, I'm more anxious because I am not able to move my body as much. They've actually restricted, they restrict when you have a little bit of surgery, they restrict your movement, right? They restrict your exercise. I can tell it in my body. I can tell that I'm more nervous than normal or more anxious than normal, more emotional than normal because I have not been able to move. So G is get movement. I'm not talking about running marathons, y'all. You can move gently. Stretch your arms, wiggle your fingers, press your feet into the floor. Anything you can do to reconnect with physical sensation. Y'all know my favorite bit of movement to help relieve my nervousness is to take a quick walk in the sunshine. That's my go-to. So get movement is G. R, reflect on your senses. Reflect on your senses. The way you can do this is you can name five things you can see, four things you can touch, three things you can hear, two things you can smell, one thing you can taste. What does this do? It orients you to your environment right now. It brings you into the present, into this place that you have around you right now that feels like it's okay to be here, that feels safe to you. So, if I were to reflect on my senses or orient right now in my office, I could say the five things I see are my microphone, my door, my water bottle, my phone, the closet doors in front of me. Right? It keeps me right here in this cozy little place. All right? So that's called R, reflect on your senses. Okay? O, observe your breath. Y'all, breathing is so important. When you are anxious or angry, your breath gets choppy. When you're crying, your breath gets choppy. When you're sad, you might not be taking deep breaths. The more you can observe your breath and take long, slow, conscious breaths, the more you oxygenate your body, the more you settle your nervous system, the better your body feels because your circulation improves. Your nervousness slows down, all the things. So you want to take slow, conscious breaths. Inhale deeply through your nose, exhale slowly through your mouth, and feel your breath grounding you. Yes, Paula, I'm going to put all this into a Facebook post and throw it in the Facebook group. And I've given it to Missy and Lisa for the write-up for the call. Okay? You. We've done G, get movement, R, reflect on your senses, O, observe your breath, U, use your environment. Touch a textured object, like a warm, fluffy blanket. Sip cool water. Hold a warm coffee mug. Wash your hands. Hold a like a fidget stone or my notes say a grounding stone, but y'all have worry stones. Y'all ever heard of worry stones? Something to keep in your pocket just to kind of hold on to. Use something tangible in your surroundings to bring yourself back to the present. Okay? I love, y'all know I love my bed and I love my warm fuzzy blanket. That's how I use my environment. Sometimes, even in the summertime, my husband turns on our gas logs just to feel the warmth, to feel the intensity of the warmth for a few minutes. Whatever you need can use in your environment. Oh, Coach Jane, Corinne's best friend. She has a stuffed animal, a stuffed giraffe, and she'll hold that stuffed giraffe. So use your environment. That's you. N, name your emotions. Now, Corinne will talk about this in one of the lessons in emotional eating. But if you can just label it without judging it, just say, you know what? I'm a little pissed off right now. Okay? Or, you know what? I feel a little anxious. I'm a little overwhelmed. Naming it can diffuse the emotional intensity. Acknowledging that you're feeling something can just let it be there. Just naming it, but don't judge it, okay? You live a full color life, friends. You're not like my cat who, ate, slept, and laid on Ken's belly. That's all she did all the time. Pooped. She pooped too, right? No full color life, very confined life. We live full color emotional lives. So the more you can name your emotion and acknowledge that it's there, the better you're going to feel in your full color life. So that's N. Last one is D, direct your attention. Focus fully on one small task or detail. Listen to a single sound, trace a pattern, or watch a leaf move in the wind. I often tell our members who are facing tough diagnoses or concerned about tough diagnoses, think about the facts. Direct your attention to the facts and the present and what's going on around you and what you can manage right now, what you can control right now. That will also calm you and center you so that you can do the emotional eating work. So I'll go through ground one more time. These are the things that you'll do in the pause before eating. When you take a pause because you notice that you're hyped up or you're stressed out, you want to ground yourself, you want to settle, calm. Think about a tree being firmly rooted wherever you are. And these are the kinds of things that you'll do, okay? So G, get movement. R, reflect on your senses. O, observe your breath. U, use your environment. N, name your emotions. And D, direct your attention. Pretty cool, don't you think? Pretty cool. All right. If you have questions about that, throw them up in the Q&A. If you want to coach, there are no, y'all, there's no hands raised. Surely somebody wants to coach today. We can coach about anything. Just wanted to make sure that you had a solid foundation for emotional eating work. So I gave you these grounding techniques, okay? But we can coach. This is a weight loss coaching call, so we can coach about anything, okay? All right, awesome. Kay Bacon, you are first. Let's see if she's coming. Awesome.
Hi, I'm trying to get on there.
Okay.
Okay, there I am.
Hello.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you so much. It's so good to see you. You coached me a couple of months ago, about a month ago, when I was trying to find out how to do ask coaches. Anyway, thank you so much. I'm really glad that I tuned in this morning,
Awesome.
and I'm looking forward to hearing doing this lesson. I've worked on a lot of stuff over the last couple months. And so I'm really excited to learn more about what real triggers are, because I'm finding that what I thought were my triggers really aren't. So I'm really excited to learn more about that. And using some of the stuff that you were just talking about, I'm really trying to get to where I can turn off noise, because I am one that sleeps with the TV on, function better in noise. So it's really, really going to be different, but I'm feeling the need for that, for some calmness right now. So.
The grounding things will help you feel a little bit calmer. What I would suggest to you and to everyone is that you practice them ahead of time too. You know, go ahead and get them, go ahead and practice them even if you don't need them, because you're, you know, that's how you add them to your habit cycle. So that when you are stressed out, you might think, well, you know what? I should get a little movement before I try a cookie. Right? You're not just offered the cookie.
It's just been so interesting to really go ask myself, what are you needing right now, especially at night? And it's that late night eating before I go to bed. It's like, I don't know what I need. I don't know. I'm not sad. I'm not, tired maybe, but I cut off my time at night at 7 o'clock. I don't answer the phone. I don't do anything for anybody else except me. But then there is that, and I've been studying a lot about, or learning about, dopamine addiction, dopamine and what drives all that. So I don't know. I'm just kind of feeling like I'm being a sponge right now of knowledge, not emotion. I don't, I work in elementary school, so there's a little bit of chaos there, but it's okay. The chaos is good, and I'm learning the breathing and things that just make me feel just smothered. And so I'm learning a lot, just really paying attention to that, how my whole body feels and all that. So I'm
And
really.
it could be what you need at night is not necessarily like a sponge bath or a, you know, to brush your teeth. It might just be some grounding and some settling and some breathing and some relaxing, right?
Well, when you were talking about the blanket as a kid, I was not the blanket person. Oh my gosh, I have a blanket. It's like there's just something about that blanket. And for me, holding a coffee cup, something about having a cup of coffee with a friend just is like the ultimate for me. And so I don't know that I ever realized that it's called grounding or whatever. I'm an artist, so when I'm in my art studio and I'm holding paint brushes and stuff,
Creativity is definitely grounding as
I
well.
don't eat in here. This is the only place in my studio. I don't eat in here. Very rarely do I snack. It's just yesterday I worked on a painting and sat the whole time with nothing on except for the video I was painting from, not even the TV. And that's just really something I haven't done before. And it feels a little different. So.
So the interesting thing here is that I want to point out is you are an artist and you don't eat in your studio. That means you are feeling good and calm and settled and supported and all those things while you are being creative, which is very common for a lot of us. But I want everyone to hear is that that's her thing. It might not be yours,
Right.
right? It might not be Lisa's. Let's
Mine
just
is not
assume.
exercise, I can tell you
Right. Let's assume Lisa's is hugging on her grandkids, and mine is a walk in the sunshine. We are all going to have different lists. That's why I gave you a bunch of options. Not all of them are going to work for you, but some of them may.
I
But you
think
won't.
it's, yeah, and I think it's just listening to that and going, wow, I didn't know what that's what it was. I didn't understand that for me, when I am creating, that's what I was created to do, to create and to use that creativity to inspire others. I've just started painting just because I love it. If I get a commission job, that's a bonus, but it's just a real different feeling for me because that nighttime eating, I feel like I can master anything, except I'm becoming a woman who is not a nighttime eater, not eating
Oh, thank you for
emotional.
that identity shift.
Oh gosh,
Thank you for that.
I did a whole lot of work on the identity thing, and I just posted it a couple weeks ago about, believing lies. Oh, you'd be so pretty if you'd lose weight. I used to hear that all the time. So I don't know. I'm turning, I'm at 63. I feel like I'm living my best life and accepting where I'm at and rocking it. But
Awesome.
yeah, it's just a total different mindset that I'm not used to. And I'm thinking also that by listening to some of these emotions, like the grounding thing, or really paying attention to when I'm feeling smothered. And realizing that I might need to do some different supplements and vitamins and stuff, and listening to my hormones, that's a huge thing. So that's just kind of where I'm at. But I was so glad to see you on. I'm like, oh my gosh, there she is. We talked via email.
So, is there anything other than just, some basic grounding techniques and being more present with what you think your body is asking for that I can help you with?
No, I think, I'm just inspired by this because I don't think that I've been so in touch with my body and my own emotions for so many years. And so I'm really open to looking at some different things.
Yeah, I love that. When I first started talking about this more body-centric approach to managing eating, I kept saying we ask our bodies all the time, are you hungry? And have you had enough? We're always that's part of the basics, right? So why aren't we asking it more things like, why am I angry? How can I settle my anger? How can I settle my nervousness? How can I do these? How can I take care of my body and what it needs so that I don't default to food? Because let's just be honest, we've always defaulted to food. That's how we were raised,
Absolutely.
right?
And I like
So,
it.
well, you like it because that's the habit.
Yes,
If you think about
I like the
societies, cultures that haven't always defaulted to like food rewards or food, you're sad, so let me get you a cookie. Those people aren't as centered around food making them feel better. We just have to teach ourselves different things that other things can make us feel better as well, like breathing and moving and grounding.
And I realize that I hold my breath a lot because I am one that can throw some F-bombs out. I'm the one that can hit below the belt because my words have always been my defense. And I can't do that at school. I mean, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that person. So I know that I hold my breath so I don't say stuff instead of just breathing and going, I need you to step back. So, yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you for just being open
Oh,
to
you're
this kind of
welcome.
work. And all of you who are here, I see the comments. Thank you for listening to this because this is this, to me, this is a missing piece to weight loss. Paying attention to to what your nervous system is saying, what your body is saying it needs that might not be food related. Super important because that gives you the opportunity to feel your emotions, live this full color life, and not eat to suppress them.
Well, and and it's just interest, it's I've just, as somebody that was molested for so many years, I didn't want to feel my body. I didn't want to deal with it. So now it's like feeling those emotions. I'm glad that I've done a lot of work emotionally up until this point. But wow, just to stop and go, wow, I feel anxious, but I can just feel it. I don't have to push it away or eat it away. This is very new. It's so new to me. And so it's going to be a new practice, and I'm excited about it. I guess I was so glad all that this whole subject is coming up because I don't think I knew what it meant. I don't think I understood the feeling it in my body. I just fought to survive it, if that makes
Awesome. I'm so glad.
so.
All
Thank you,
right.
Kathy.
Okay. Thanks
But
for raising your hand.
you bet. Thank
All
you.
right. See you soon.
How do I get out of here?
All right. Geraldine, you're next. Let's see what you got. Hello, you need to unmute. There you are. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Good. What can I do for you?
So I got asked a question and asked a co ask a coach the other day, and I need a little bit of guidance answering it because the question stumped me.
Oh, excellent. Maybe I
And
can help you. Maybe I can reframe it for you.
I mean, it's a simple question, but I was just like, huh. And it's I don't have it exactly. I went to try and pull it up. Anyways, it doesn't matter. But it was like, what are you ashamed of, or what are you ashamed about? And I was like, I don't know. I like, surely there's something, but I have a blind spot. So I was just wondering if we could either unpack it, or if you had like, how do others answer that question? Because I don't even know. Like,
Well, give me so tell me more about your post so I know why the coach asked you that.
yeah. I was caught in a total shame spiral. Like, why do I? Oh, I know the question. I think I was asking myself a bunch of questions, like why, and one of them was, why do I suck so bad?
Okay.
And it was in response to that question that she was like, it was like she was floating up a level, and she's like, I forget the exact words of the question, but it was in response to, why do I suck so bad?
Okay. So what are you sucking about, Geraldine?
Losing weight.
Okay. Are you really sucking about losing weight, or are you just telling yourself that?
Well, it clearly it's a thought, but boy, does it feel true.
Okay. Tell me why it feels true. What evidence do you have that you suck at losing weight?
Greg, like, the evidence that I'm looking at that I'm believing is that, like, for the last year or 2 years or however many years, it's like I start at 144 and then it goes down 141 and then 137, and like that's all well and good, and then bam, like back up to 144, and the freaking yo-yoing that I just
So what is causing the jump from 137 to 144?
Usually there's a trip or a vacation or visitors or something. Either I leave town or somebody comes to town, and I just like lose track of myself, and I get not swept up or swept away, but just like get out of my habit and my routine, and I stop paying attention.
Okay.
For sure, if my dad is involved,
Okay.
that's a common
And
factor.
so you go back down, you go down the scale
Yep.
from when do you what is going on when you go down the scale?
It especially works well when other people are not around, especially my children and my partner.
Okay. So
And it's
when
just me, and I can focus, and I don't have a lot of other stuff going on. I can pay attention, and I can stay connected and not lose connection. Like, the
Okay.
more I
So
can stay
focus and
connected,
connection.
Totally.
create weight loss for you, right? So clearly you don't suck at weight loss because you know what creates weight loss for you.
I believe you. That's going to take a minute to sink in, but yes.
So think about that. Focus, I'll say it again, focus. You know, you just told me focus and connection create weight loss for you, right? So when you are able to focus and connect, you don't suck at weight loss. Right? Okay. So your next level work, and see, let's just be honest, Geraldine. Do we ever finish this work? Or do we always look
No.
for the next level, right?
Yeah.
Your next level work is trying to figure out how to create focus and connection while you're on vacation or with other people or when your dad's around.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yes.
Now, the shame comes in because you talk to yourself in a way that creates shame, self-judgy. I suck at
Yeah.
weight loss, shame. But we just established that I suck at weight loss, not 100% true.
Yeah, totally. Actually, not it. Yeah, thank you.
All right, tell me what's landing for you and what's still confusing. What's bringing up the emotion?
Just how hard I am on myself for something that. We were never taught this growing up. Thing I was taught was like, go fucking figure it out, you know? Not that. I was not, we, I'm a child of the snack well culture and parents who worked really hard and they weren't, you know, what do I want to say? We didn't have these tools growing up. I didn't have these tools growing up.
You
So
just
why?
told me why. Yeah, you just told me why it's normal,
Yeah.
right? For you to have this next level work to do.
What do you mean?
Okay, so the next level work is figuring out focus and connection with all your people around, right?
Yes.
And I asked you what was bringing up the emotion, and you said, it's because I was just never taught this stuff. All right, now I'm going to ask all y'all listening to this call to throw up an emoji if you were never taught this stuff. I got both hands in the air.
It's like,
Okay.
yeah.
I didn't make
I
the
got
eighth
taught
grade
the wrong
cheerleading team,
stuff.
and my mom took me for ice cream. Okay. That's my favorite story to tell, right? So, what I don't want you to do is pile more shame onto your shame. What I would love to happen is for you to just gain awareness. Oh, that's why. And it's normal. I'm not broken. Oh, thank God. Is there a way for you to get there?
There's no way for me to get there. I can, like, I can imagine that there are stepping stones to that. I know that it's not true, but like, but boy, does it feel true
Tell me the phrase that feels true.
that I should have this figured out by now.
Okay. Why should you have it figured out, Geraldine?
Have like a have it all together, get your shit together story. This should just be easy and like it's just math and it's so not just math.
It would be just math if there weren't emotion involved. If we were not living full color lives. What is the emotion you're feeling right now?
So many anger, just Just not getting what I needed growing up, I think. Which is totally fair. Like,
Let's think about that for a minute. When you were growing up, when you were this childlike version of you, you could decide that you got exactly what you needed for that childlike version of you. Right? In the moment, your parents did the best they could. They all our parents, you know?
Yep, totally.
They
Hold on, I'm
gave
just gonna
us
lock
what
the door, which is right here.
okay,
Just
they
so
gave
my
us
like
what they knew to give us. Okay? And now you're learning that you might need something just a little bit different. For today's Geraldine, you might need something just a little bit different. The lessons you learned as a kid, maybe that's what you needed as a kid. But if we ground ourselves in the present and open our minds to new awareness and new teachings, we can totally skip the whole self-judgment and shame piece and go straight into, oh, now that makes sense. If as long as we understand where the self-judgment and shame come from, you know, I'm never going to tell you not to feel an emotion. I think they all need to be honored. But when we honor them, we do the work to understand them and decide if that's something that we need to bring with us.
The thing that came clear yesterday and this morning was around rebel eating, and I don't identify as a rebel, but it was underneath the rebel eating was not getting listened to, like not getting heard, listened to, acknowledged. And using eating as a way to listen to myself. And I don't know where, I don't know that I necessarily, well, like I just found that in the last 24 hours, so I don't have a next thing with it, but I feel like that's where I need to be is like, oh, instead of listening to myself with food, just listen to myself.
Yeah, so how can you do that? Which one of those grounding techniques, or maybe something else, can you do to listen to yourself before eating?
Just go sit outside on the porch. It's a really easy one, like always there. Or
You can
like,
journal.
yep.
You can talk to yourself. You know, one of the big pieces of connection is connection to self,
Yeah.
understanding what's coming up for you and why and where it's coming from and what you want to do with it. Staying present. You know, we could totally dive back into the past and figure out where all this emotional eating comes from. But is it
Yeah.
really necessary? Or do we just need to think about what we're thinking about in the moment?
Yeah.
Right? How can we show up for
Yes.
ourselves in the moment? I'm sorry, I interrupted you. What were we gonna say?
No, it's okay. It's like it's a couple of things kind of like all wound together, braided together. It's like, what am I angry about? But like, do I really need to be angry about it? The piece about whenever Corinne or whoever is like, that's like, at what point am I no longer going to blame my mom for my emotional eating? Right? When that was 50, 40 years ago. Like, at what point do I own the story and it's mine? And like, I'm not eating in this moment because of something my mom said or didn't say 40 years ago.
Great question.
Yeah. I didn't even, it's like, I don't even know what questions I like, what I say, what I ask.
Oh, you
Oh, what
said,
point do I not blame my
at
mom?
what point am I going to
Yeah.
stop blaming my mom and take
Yeah.
responsibility for my
Yeah,
eating?
exactly.
Yeah.
And
Because I'm gonna bet your mom is not shoving Twinkies in your mouth right now. These days, right?
yeah. And she never did. The thing is she was doing was like, stop eating. So she was actually trying to help me. But the stop eating message, anyways, I don't need to, I mean, yeah. I think for me right now, it's just like exploring the messages that I got, but the story that I made out of the messages I got. Because the messages I got were not the same as the story that I made. The story that I made was like, you can't have that. Stop that. Don't do that. You're wrong for doing that. But those weren't the words that were said. Okay. I don't
So,
even know how we got here or where I am. This is all very, very helpful.
well, but that's what coaching does. I mean, seriously, sometimes you start in one place and you end up in, Barcelona.
I feel like I
Sometimes you
disassociated
start,
and got to Barcelona.
yeah. Sometimes you start in one place and end up somewhere else. But the fact that you came to the call with shame helped us dig into and find the next layer beneath for you. Okay. And so if you go back to ask coaches, you can say, I understand where my shame comes from now. I think I should have this figured out.
Yeah, and also that story, like that I'm not good at losing weight and I haven't figured out, like the idea that that's actually not true, like I am actually starting to figure it out and do on occasion figure it out. That I just need to string together more of that.
Yeah, and without two things. First of all, I bet there's not a person on this call that doesn't know how to lose weight and hasn't lost a pound or two at some point in this program. Now, they may have put it back on because they're judging themselves for, it's not fast enough, it's not good enough, or whatever, right? Or their circumstances change like yours did. But what that means is there's just that next little piece, that next step to take, right? It's all a series of small steps. Even maintenance is going to be a series of analysis and assessments and pivots, right? So that's important. The other piece of it is you will be stuck exactly where you are if you are judging yourself and talking to yourself in ugly ways. All right. And a lot of those judgment thoughts, if we break them apart, kind of like we did yours, just aren't true. Because we have this thing called negative bias, where we're always looking for the problems. And I'm going to tell you, I'm good at this myself, okay? My favorite thing to tell myself is, I'll never get this. I'll never understand. So if you catch yourself with never and always, you've got real binary thinking. There's no wiggle room there until you start to wiggle it intentionally. And when you said, I'll never get this, I mean, those weren't your exact words, but that's what it sounded like. I'm not good at this. It was very emphatic, like 100%, I'm not good at weight loss. Right? So everything we think, everything our brain offers us to process, sometimes it's wiggleable. Try saying that one, wiggleable. Sometimes it just deserves a little bit deeper look to see if that's the one, we need to pay attention to, work on, or lean into.
That's all really helpful, including the story about my belief that I am not figuring it out, can't figure it out, will never figure it out. And just seeing that, like, that's actually not true. It's like,
You have something to build on.
I have lots to build on.
Yeah. And I'm going to offer that most of us do have lots to build on, especially if we're doing this work in no BS, especially if we're listening to Corinne and these amazing courses that she creates and figuring out how they apply. Now, before you go,
Just worry about my cat who's like clearly anxious.
I want you to take a deep breath. Big, long, deep breath in. And a long exhale, settle yourself and really think about how we coached, okay?
And the replay. I will watch the replay because I always get so much out of the replay.
Awesome. Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
for raising your hand. Lots of comments about how applicable this coaching was to other people, so thank you.
And the hearts are so great. Like, oh my God, I'm not the only one.
Oh, heck no. Heck no.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You okay?
I'm great. I'm really great. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Take care.
You too.
All right. Awesome. Beth, you're next.
There we go.
Hi. Haven't seen you in a minute. How are you?
I know. I'm okay. the earlier that we did the I did the course with you on the settling the system, so that's all a good review. The specific issue I'm looking for help with is I struggle with sleep a lot. I'm in the course. I've had a CPAP machine in the back in the past that was a disaster. I'm working with my new doctor on ways to help me get better quality sleep. I'm in bed for enough time and I have gotten much better about, well, I'm resting and all of that. And lately, my sleep has actually been better than it had been in a while. But last week, my son was in he's fine, but he was in a car accident, and that was unsettling. And then the day after I found out about his car accident, I was sitting at a red light and got rear-ended. And I'm also working with my doctor through another health issue. I've had a lot of fatigue and brain fog, and we're now looking at my digestive system. And so I've got, test last week. Everything looked good, but we're going through that process. So, but the new habit that I'd like to get rid of or deal with is waking up at night and being awake for sometimes 3 hours, sometimes less. And if I stay in bed long enough, I will go back to sleep. But I'm not getting that nighttime stuff. So I've tried some, and I'm very aware when I've had wakeful periods in the past, I haven't really tied it to something in particular. But because this has been a nervy week, and I feel like I'm so I've done, some meditation, I've done some breathing, but I just wondered if you had other suggestions about things I could do to sort of change this pattern.
First of all, I'm all in. I totally understand what you're going through. Okay. Last night, I got terrible sleep. My daughter-in-law was in a car wreck with the four grandkids. She's pregnant, all the things, right? Over the weekend. I have my first trip to Europe coming up in 8 days. I've never been to a country where I can't speak the language. I've never been through customs. I don't know if my credit card's going to get stolen. I have disaster planned the heck out of this thing. So my Oura ring, my lovely Oura ring, told me how my resting heart rate sucked last night. Okay.
Yeah, mine is up, and it does a readiness for the day, and
I don't even want to tell you what my readiness score was. It was like a 60. It was awful.
45.
Okay. So when we have all this extra energy, this extra anxiety, worry, nervousness, whatever you want to call it, in our bodies, our hearts beat faster, right? And if we go to sleep that way, our resting heart rate's not going to go down. We're not going to get great sleep. We're going to wake up thinking about all the things that we're worried about and concerned about, right? See, you're preaching to the choir, Beth. We get each other. And it's going to inhibit further productive sleep. So we have to manage what we're thinking about in addition to managing the energy in our body in order to get decent sleep. Right? And we all know sleep is like foundational. It's totally foundational to everything else that we do. We make better decisions. We eat when we're hungry. We stop it enough. We do all those things. So I wanted to say all that before I gave you some tactical suggestions, because it makes a lot of sense to me if you are under any kind of stress, whether it's family related, health related, work related, just mulling stuff over in your mind, you're likely you could disrupt your sleep because your energy levels in your body are
I
not
can
taken care
imagine.
of. Okay? So A, any one of those grounding techniques other than get movement, obviously, might be helpful. You learned in Calm the Confident lots of ways to settle your nervous system. But when I'm in the bed, my favorite thing to do, two things. The first thing is I'll pull up my rosary and I'll say Hail Marys over and over and over again. Now, if you're not Catholic, that's not going to work for you. But if you are Catholic, you know what I'm talking about. That'll put you to sleep
Oh,
in a
I'm married
hot
here.
second. Okay. Especially if you have somebody read the rosary to you. Okay. But the second thing is something I picked up from Coach Lizzie. I call it A to Z gratitude. All right. So it's very meditative. If you start work your way through the alphabet, thinking of things you're grateful for, you're going to put your mind at ease because gratitude, the feeling of gratitude, is the antidote for just about anything. Okay.
Of course, I have a lot to be grateful for because even though there was damage to the cars, we weren't injured. And so far, the testing has come back. I feel like they often look for the worst stuff first. So that, yeah, I'd forgotten about that one.
Yeah. The other thing is, even if they come back with something, some diagnosis or something that needs to be medicated, what are you going to do? You're going to take care of it. You've got a team that you trust, right? You've
And
got, I mean,
at this point, I'm like hoping they find something because if they keep telling me that what I'm experiencing, I'm hoping there's something we can do something about.
yeah. So when it comes to A to Z gratitude, y'all, they don't have to be great big things. I mean, my A's are almost also always avocados. It's just what comes in first. I love avocados. They're good for me, right? I put them on my salad, whatever. It can be anything. B can be, I don't know,
East.
baboons, bees. What it does is it centers you, it focuses you, it brings you back to the present, and it helps remind you that we're really in pretty good shape when it comes to, the fact that we can, take care of a car because we have insurance, take care of our health because we have good doctors. Gosh, when I was a hot wreck when I found out my daughter-in-law was in that car wreck, was rear-ended on the interstate.
They all okay?
Everybody's fine, right? But we had to go, she needed to go to the hospital and be monitored because she's pregnant. B could be Betsy. Yes, Coach Betsy. So you know what that makes K, right? An L, right? So I was a hot mess until I started thinking, okay, wait. I can worry, worry, worry about what ifs, or I can say, she got out of the car. She didn't go in an ambulance. She's being monitored. Baby's fine. Kids are fine. I can bring all this back in to the present, to what I know and what I can be grateful for. And that's almost immediately settling to me. I have yet, and I'm not a great sleeper, Beth, I have yet to make it through the alphabet. And if I do, I'm just going to start it again. Because the more I can focus on that one thing, the less ping, 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 ping my brain is going to do.
And it gives you that sense of safety. Yeah, which is
Again, it grounds you.
yeah.
B, I know what my B is always, my bed. Y'all know I love my bed, right? P could be pillow. W could be weighted blanket, whatever it is. Okay?
That's a great idea. Yep, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Let us know if you need anything.
Okay,
Okay?
have a fabulous trip.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh.
That'd be
Y'all
great.
might need to coach me. I don't know.
Big traveler. I travel on my own, and but I started early, so I got used to it. But you will figure it
I will. And maybe that's my mantra, right? I'll figure it out. Oh, Lisa says, I got you, Kathy. Good. Lisa, we'll talk. All right, Beth, you take care, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Bye. I think that was a good call too, because so many of us, we get wound up, we get worried, we start thinking about things, we can't sleep. Holy cow. Cheryl, you're next. Where am I traveling to? I am flying into Frankfurt, Germany, spending a couple of days in Western Germany. Cheryl's coming. Then we'll go to Luxembourg for a day and then on to Paris. They speak English everywhere now. Yeah, that's what I hear. That's what I hear. All right, Cheryl.
Hi, oh my goodness. I've got some weird effects on my
That's
situation.
awesome.
Oh my goodness, that's a little annoying. You know what happened? I was on an, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do because that's like,
It's okay with me.
okay, all
Or
right.
if you want, I can put you down and you can figure it out and call you up next. What's your It doesn't matter to me.
You know what? How about if I just stop the video? Is that okay?
That's okay.
I
That's
just,
okay.
because I know I'm going to fumble, and I tried to get on another thing, and I don't know. I couldn't. It wasn't, letting me do anything, but I put a picture there. So now it's giving me both the video and the picture simultaneously. Anyway, this is kind of a different topic. Usually I'm always chiming in to somebody else, but pretty sure it was you that I spoke to about how I felt so weird about getting personal training, and
Okay.
so of course I totally changed after that. I absolutely love it. I'm totally into it, and I do it 2 times a week. And my dilemma now is my situation is that I absolutely love the personal coaching. It's pushing me to be stronger. I've had 2 knee replacements in 2020, so I've always wanted to get stronger. But I spoke to the personal trainer on Saturday, and I said, I'm just very disappointed because I'm looking at the end of the month. Today's beginning of the new month. And my weight loss isn't there. And so, anyhow, that's not the problem. The problem is, I was telling her I wanted certain things, and she just wants to push me to get a third session a week, which is absolutely not going to happen. I did it once. Because we had a misunderstanding. I said maybe next week, and she said, "Oh, I put you down." And I understand it's a business, the more sessions they have. And I honestly feel that she cares about me because she's in this business, but I don't know.
Why is this a problem, Cheryl?
It's a problem because it's causing me, and I guess the grounding, acronym is going to help. It's a problem because it's interfering with the good feelings. For example, Tuesday I have a session and I actually have water aerobics for the first time in months because the pool was closed. And then in the same park, I'm going to have a session. So I'm so excited about that because I'm going to get some, cardio exercise and everything. But then I feel like I don't know if it's just me not being strong enough, telling her, no way, we're not going to do 3 sessions. Because I constantly tell her, I'm busy. I have things
Okay,
every
tell
day.
me, I'm still unclear. Tell me in one sentence, what is the problem?
The problem is, this is making me think about quitting the personal training.
Okay, so let's be clear. Her wanting to go to three sessions a week is making you think about quitting?
Yes,
Okay, why?
because I do not want to do that. I don't
All
feel
right.
that's conducive
So
to.
who's in charge of your personal training, Cheryl? Don't you tell me the personal trainer.
No, I am. I am.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So
Yes.
if you take responsibility for your personal training schedule, how does this change?
Well, then I guess that wouldn't be an issue, right?
Right. Right. She works for you.
That's true.
And there's comments, fire her, whatever. No, you don't have to fire her.
Which I
But you
don't.
just need to be clear about what you're paying for and your expectations. When
Right.
we take responsibility, we take control. And control feels good. If we cede control to somebody else, then we don't feel controlled. We feel unsettled, victim-y, upset, out of
Okay.
control, right?
Gotcha. That makes
So to
sense.
me, this one is sort of easy.
Okay.
You
Yeah, I
just
guess.
talk to that trainer and say, twice a week, here's what I want. Here's the schedule that I'm going to keep.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
Well, it's true. You boiled it down to the basics, and it is not such a big deal as I'm making it in my head. See, I don't want to have to revisit this every time we meet. So I guess if I do that on Tuesday, being straightforward, that then she won't continue doing that, because I really don't want to, because I am so happy with my progress and what she has helped me to do. I don't want to lose it, but I feel,
Yeah. Here's my favorite question to ask in a situation like this. You ready?
yes.
What do you think Corinne would do?
Oh,
Right? You
Lord.
think Corinne would let a trainer push her into a third session a week that she didn't want?
No way, no
Or would
way.
Corinne say, it's a no, and if you don't do what I want you to do, there's a million trainers out there. I bet you I can find another one.
Right, true.
Corinne has never had a problem with clarity, has she?
No, absolutely.
And clarity gives you, sets the standard, sets the expectation for exactly what you need. And if this trainer wants to keep your business, she's going to appreciate that clarity.
Yeah, I appreciate all the comments. I'll look at them when I'm off the call. I really do. So, okay, I'm going to do it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Control always feels better. Okay.
Okay.
Control always feels better. All right.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, thanks to everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye.
It's always such a great question, don't y'all think? You think Corinne would take that crap? I think it's a no. Darling's iPhone, you are next. And she declined to be promoted, so we'll go to the next person who is called Zoom user. I hope you know who you are, because here you come. And they're coming. Awesome. Need you to unmute. Turn on your camera. Oh, you're unmuted. Can you turn your camera on for me?
I'm trying. Let's
Okay.
see. It says my video is stopped. Not sure. Okay. There we go.
Oh, sweet.
I'm coming.
Hi. Tell me your name.
My name is Zoom user.
Silly
I
girl.
have the same name as you. I'm Kathy.
Okay, it's nice to meet you, Kathy.
Thank you.
What's happening?
I
A couple of things are going on with me. I joined No BS almost a year ago. I think it was June 8th. It was the last day of school. I'm a teacher, and I got an invitation to a family wedding that's actually going to be in a couple months. And I thought, I really want to get healthy and look my best by then because I had just been to my son's wedding and I thought I looked cute until I saw the pictures. And like, I've heard the whole thing of wear the damn dress and all the things. So
Well,
I
can
know.
we just pause? Can we just put a pin in this? I thought I looked cute until I saw the pictures. Why does a picture get to tell you whether or not you look cute?
I know. No, I actually use one of those pictures as motivation. Just camera angles were not my friend in some of the things. And so, anyway, that was part of my
So, Lisa will string me up if I don't talk a little body image here for a minute,
okay.
okay? We don't use pictures as motivation to shame ourselves into doing things differently.
Oh.
Okay? We can say, huh, I'd like to lose a few more pounds and see if that dress looks any different. Or, I'd like to be healthier to see if I feel better for the next wedding.
Yeah.
Okay? Watch how you talk to yourself about how you look, because good work will not come from shame. Shame will hold you steady.
I should write that down.
Yeah, productive work. Here's the quote. Productive work never comes from shame.
I love that.
Okay? So if you're shaming yourself about what you see in the mirror or what pictures you're looking at, if your brain is always going to look for problems first. Okay? Just know that.
Yeah.
So, if you're shaming yourself, you're not going to lose 10 pounds or whatever. I don't think you said 10 pounds, but you're not going to lose weight by the next wedding. You're going to shame yourself into the next wedding and then go, see?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, yesterday, it's getting close enough that I felt like, wow, I need to get a dress just in case this is the size I am for the wedding. And so, I went to a store about an hour away with my husband, and I actually found a dress that I really like. I have to have it altered because I'm a little short, but it's okay if I'm that size. I really liked the dress, but it's really made me think a lot, like, is no BS what's really gonna help me get to where I want to be? And it's so interesting because while I've been waiting on this call to be, summoned,
Summoned.
I looked at my the app I use to track my weight, and realized that I could download a spreadsheet. And I'm not I'm well, first of all, I have not done no BS in the way that I intended to. I've had gaps, and I took beautiful Cornell notes because I'm a teacher and I just need to really revisit them. But the only clear data that I really have, I realized, is this spreadsheet that I can download. And while I've been sitting here, I won't go into the gory details of how I did it. I'm sure there's a more elegant way to do a spreadsheet, but I discovered that I've lost 36.8 pounds since last June. I just never strung them all together, and so I weigh the same that I did when I started. But I think that's been a huge aha moment for me that this hasn't really failed at all. I've learned a lot along the way. I need to learn how to not kind of piss away the progress that
Yes.
I do make.
36 pounds in a year?
So my question
That's
now
amazing.
changed. Well, and like in a perfect world, I would lose about 100 pounds from where I am today, 80 to 100, like some people say. I don't even know. But so I did my spreadsheet. I've gotten while I'm sitting here, I've gone back to 2020, I'm somewhere in 2021 and I'm already over 100 pounds. Like since 2021, the minuses, if I add them all up, are 107 pounds. So in the last few years, since I really began to try to lose weight, I have. It's just that I've gained it back, not in a big chunk. I go up, I go down, I go up, I go down. But clearly, that's my question. How do I get rid of the pluses and just keep the minuses?
Well, first of all, weight loss is not linear. All right. There are going to be times when our bodies react to certain foods, or we overeat, or we go on vacation or something like that, when we do gain weight and we lose it back again. Okay. I've seen many times weight loss isn't a slide down. It's like a hop and jump all the way down. Okay. And when we lose focus or we lose connection, kind of like we were talking to Geraldine about, it just takes a little bit of putting what we're learning back into action to create that focus and attention again. But if you sit there and go, see, I'm a loser, this never works, no BS isn't for me, all that kind of stuff, and you layer shame on top of it, then that's going to hold you still. Okay? So what you did is actually amazing. You went back and you looked. In the past year, I've lost 36 pounds. Now, I want y'all to raise your hand or give an emoji. Don't raise your hand, but like tap an emoji or something. If 36 pounds in a year sounds amazing to you, because it does to me, right?
I would
Even
imagine.
if there were ups and downs through the 36 pounds, okay? Now, your question though was, how do I keep going down? It's consistency versus perfection. Okay, that's in module two of No BS. I don't remember exactly which lesson it is, but I bet you Lisa can post a link in the chat. And I think it's not, the lesson is not called consistency versus perfection. It's called something else. Lisa, if you'll tell me what it's called exactly. But here's the point. The difference is being consistent is showing up regardless of whether or not you've had a gain or a loss. It's continuing to try. It's continuing to level up rather than expecting that it's always going to go down. Okay? Consistency is having your own back, getting up when you don't, getting up when you don't feel like it, doing work you don't feel like doing, because you know the end goal is what you want. Okay? That's how you get back into it. You tell yourself, you know what? Yesterday might not have been great, but I bet today I can figure out what to do today. Does that make sense? You heard
Yeah.
that? You've heard that? Have you listened to that lesson in No BS?
Oh yeah, I've taken Cornell notes on that lesson to help
All
me
right,
remember
and let's
it
talk about your Cornell notes for a minute. It's
They did
amazing
work.
that you take notes. When you take notes, I want you to pick one thing out of each of the notes that you've taken and put it into action.
Yeah. That's
Because,
the missing part is
yeah,
yeah.
listening to courses, doing the videos, coming to coaching calls, all great. But you have to apply what you learn in order to keep going down the scale. So,
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like I think this is the second time in a year that I think I emailed the coaches once and now I'm talking to you today. So I don't think I've used that feature 'cause I come home from school and I mean, I've had a lot of emotional things happen this year, great things like two new granddaughters, but
Oh.
federal employee and so like Friday, my next door neighbor at school found out her job is gone. And, we all just ate a bowl of chocolate together in the faculty lounge. It was the only thing we knew to do because you can't drink and teach little children.
But you can
So,
talk and connect and love on each other and support one another without a bowl of chocolate.
yeah.
The lesson is number four, called, and it's called The Secret to Staying Consistent in Weight Loss.
In my
Lesson
two.
four of module two, if anybody needs that
I'll
information.
go take a look at that. Yeah, so I guess I'm convinced now I do want to stick with no BS a little bit longer and, just really not just research what I should do, but do what I should do.
Here's the thing, okay? You can research all day long. You can go out on the Pinterest and the Googles and everything and tell me how I can lose 50 pounds by September. And somebody is going to give you a plan.
Right.
And it's going to be, eat lettuce and broccoli and that's all, and something crazy like that. It is not going to teach you how to manage your emotions. And you just told me you got stressed and you went to a bowl of chocolate,
Right.
right? It is not going to teach you how not to do that. That's what you learn in No BS. And that's y'all, it's the missing link to
Yeah.
weight loss,
I
right?
really think that's responsible for all the little ups that I've had. So, I'll look at the consistency, but, is there anything else specifically that you'd recommend that I revisit?
Look at consistency, but do the work in emotional eating this month.
Okay.
Identify, it will help you not only identify where you're emotionally eating, but how to manage that piece. And if you get stuck anywhere, we're in Ask Coaches.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
I'm convinced that this is some of the best work she's ever done, Kryn has ever done, that targets why we overeat. We all know we overeat.
Exactly.
Okay. This targets why we overeat and what to do about it. It doesn't just tell you to eat broccoli and lettuce to
Yeah.
lose 50 pounds. Because I mean, seriously, you might do that for a day or two and then you're going to get mad because you're hungry. And then you're going to go for the chocolate and the whatever. So it's not teaching you anything. It's not teaching you anything that is going to be sustainable that you can build on for the rest of your life. Make sense?
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. All right. You take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. All right, darling's iPhone, let's try you again. I saw you in the chat wanting to saying you had a little glitch. So let's try you again. And yes, you can be on an iPhone for sure. All right, here she comes.
There we go.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I have this issue, and last night, my husband does this frequently. I've been married for 34 years, and I've been overweight for a good portion of it, at least since I had our last child 21 years ago. And my question is that I get really aggravated. Last night we just celebrated birthdays on Thursday, and I made a delicious dessert. And last night I decided that I had kind of a small dinner last night, and I thought, and I purposely did that so I could have dessert last night because I really enjoy it. And I had planned for it, and it was what I was going to have. And so I come into the, living room with my little bowl, and this is what he always says to me, "What are you eating?" And it just is like I know he knows what I'm eating, and it's almost like, I mean, if I get defensive about it, which is what I want to do, which is like, why would you even say that to me? You know what I'm eating. You don't ask me what I'm eating when I come into the, and eat dinner or anything else. It's typically only when I have dessert. And I guess I think maybe he thinks he's being helpful, but he's really not.
So, why do you think he's asking the question? Why do you think he's asking the question?
I think he's asking the question as to point a finger at me and say, "You really shouldn't be eating that. You're still, you may have lost some weight, but you're still 100 pounds
Okay.
overweight. And why are you eating that?"
All right. What else could be true?
I don't really know. Maybe, I mean, maybe. it's true that he doesn't really know what I could be eating, but I find that really hard to believe.
That's because you're so stuck in the story that he's pointing a finger at you.
Yeah, because he never asks me what I'm eating when I'm eating something healthy. It's only, he typically only does that when I have something that I feel guilty about eating.
Oh, this is so good. So I'm going to tell you, if my husband were to ask me that, we've been married almost 38 years. It's because he's wanting to know if he wants some. That's why he asked me that.
Yeah, no, my husband's not like that.
Okay. Well, so there could be another reason in his mind, right? You're taking it like he's pointing a finger at you. He might be saying it as a way to like thinking he's helping you. Or he might be wanting some, or he might be just curious. Who knows? Right?
I could ask him, but
You could ask him.
it's really important that I know why he's asking me that.
Oh, but it might be, and here's why. Because if it's different than the story you're telling yourself, then you know where the work is.
That's true.
Right? Because if you think he's pointing a finger at you, if you think he's trying to shame you about what you're eating, guess what you're probably doing in the back of your own mind about what you're eating?
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's called the mirror. Okay? There's this concept that we coach all the time. When you think you know what someone else is thinking, it is most likely because you're thinking it yourself. Okay? So if you ever look at yourself in a picture and think, whoo, everybody's gonna think this dress does not fit me, it's because you're thinking the dress might not fit you. If you're looking at a bowl of yummy dessert that you're eating too enough, and you're thinking, husband must think, must be pointing a finger at me because I shouldn't be eating this, then you're the one who's probably thinking, I wonder if I should be eating this. It's usually a key to what we're actually subconsciously thinking ourselves.
That makes sense. But why should I feel that way? Like, should I just, I know what happens if I don't plan to have dessert. Eventually, I'll have it in a big way.
Honestly, it's probably because you have some old diet mentality still going around back there. We all do. Let's just normalize that and say, when I dish myself out a bowl of ice cream, my first thought is, how many points was it, would this be on Weight Watchers? How many calories am I eating? And then I'm like, wait, stop. I planned this. I'm not at enough yet. It's okay. Right? It's just that old habit thinking. Did you ever see the movie Inside Out?
No, actually, I haven't.
Okay, so it's this Pixar movie, and it's set in a little girl's brain, and all of her emotions are personified. Like you have this pink girl who's all uppity and happy. She's joy. And you got this little red guy running around with flames shooting out of his head. He's anger. And you've got this I can't remember what she's called, sad or sorrow. She's this little Eeyore looking girl that's purple, right? I think of our habit brain as one of those. I've personified in my mind that habit, our habit brain. And our habit brain just throws up thoughts to see what's going to stick. Thoughts that we've thought before, thoughts that, old diet rules that we've had. It's in charge of the file room. So he's back there with the file cabinets going, let's try this one. Oh, look, this one, And so when you dish yourself out some ice cream, if you've dieted before and not been allowed dessert, he's like, oh, ice cream. Maybe we should try this thought. Doesn't mean it's true. It means it's up to you to hear the thought and decide, oh, wait, is that really my husband? Or is that really me? And is it really relevant right now? Right? You just told me you dished up that dessert on purpose, just a little bit. Before you hit enough, you planned it that way. Exactly what No BS teaches. Exactly how to make weight loss long term. But you turned it into, my husband thinks I shouldn't eat this. When it was probably you who was just in the back of your mind, some little habit thought going, Are you sure? Are you sure you should eat this?
Right.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
That's helpful. Yes. And I'm going to remember that
Yeah.
before I just let the anger build against him.
Yeah, because I mean, he could be trying to help. He could be doing exactly what you're doing.
Right.
But you're the one who gets to decide how you respond.
That's true.
And you're also the one who gets to figure out if that's really his thought or if it's my own thought that's like
Right.
running around in the background that I haven't dealt with yet.
Right.
Okay.
That's great. Yep,
All
that
right.
helps a lot. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
You too.
All
Thanks.
right. Bye. Pamela. Pamela M, you are next. Awesome. So I have two more after Pamela. Lisa, will you give me a thumbs up or let me know if you're okay to stay for just a little bit longer? Hello.
Hi, how are you? I'm very
I'm
excited
good.
to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here too. What's going on?
It looks like I was frozen for a minute. So I just joined No BS on May 3rd, and I just love the whole thing
Awesome.
because as I've gotten older, I've truly begun to embrace the other side of me, the thoughts and feelings. I'm an accountant and I grew up in a household that was all like rational, logical rules.
I'm an
So,
accountant married to an engineer. I get it.
yeah, and there's a lot of value to that, but you know, we're all driven by our emotions as I'm learning in middle age. And so I just love No BS. But the reason why I'm here, I just want to get a little support. I'm going through a challenge, which sounds like it's not food, but I think it is. So I had two big wins this weekend. Friday and Saturday night were my first two Friday and Saturday nights in forever and ever and ever that I didn't have any alcohol. And I know that's alcohol, not food, but I mean, you do
It's
consume
okay.
it. And I would never have done that without No
So
BS.
tell me why you did do that.
Because in the Facebook group, I saw that there was a mindful drinking course in No BS. And I thought, well, that looks like something good. Because I do love my wine on the weekends. And I generally don't have much during the week, although sometimes. And I know that it's basically junk food, you know, it's empty calories. So in the Facebook group, I saw there was a mindful drinking course, so I went to that. And then I saw the woman who was the instructor, and she has a podcast. So I was listening to her, some of her podcasts, and I listened to some other podcasts. You know, there are a lot of podcasters on that topic of like reduced drinking. And, you know, drinking often makes people overweight. And also, it helps us to like lower our inhibitions and eat more.
So basically, you made decisions that you feel really proud about when it comes to
Yeah,
drinking this
although I
weekend.
gotta tell you, it was really tough.
Of course it was.
Thank the Lord, my husband is supportive. And for example, for years, I didn't have any diet soda because I've heard that that's not good for you. But actually, I did go, my husband went out and bought a whole bunch of caffeine-free diet soda for me because even though it's not exactly a health food, it's a lot better for you than wine and alcohol. So I had that, and I also had a mocktail. We went out to dinner, and the mocktails are the same price as the regular drinks, so we didn't save any
Isn't that
money.
funny?
But my husband said, "Who cares?"
Yeah. Good.
I guess I just want to get a little support and see what you have to say about this.
So I think eating and drinking, all the concepts work. All the concepts. Emotional eating, you could substitute emotional drinking. Nighttime eating, you substitute nighttime drinking. And for me, to be perfectly honest, if I drink, I am less likely to stop it enough. I just know this about me. It also jacks my sleep. So I had a, if you've been on the call for a minute, you heard me talk about my terrible sleep last night. I also had a glass of wine last night with dinner. So it could have been some of that too. The point is, I think it is totally fine for you to apply any of the weight loss concepts to drinking as well. Okay.
Yeah, and it's all related, and
Yes. It is
I
consumption, like you said. It's something that you consume. You can apply it to marijuana or gummies or, shopping, anything you do to disconnect that has you eating too. Yeah, I'd totally apply it.
and it numbs our feelings, and it's just a way of
It can
stopping.
numb or intensify.
But I was really surprised at how Friday I was really kind of anxious, like going into it, and just kind of scared, and just told myself like,
Well, if
okay,
you were trying, yeah,
like
so the
stop
anxiety, the
there.
anxious probably came from you deciding to do something out of your normal habit because our brains don't like change.
Definitely out of my comfort
Yeah.
zone.
So your brain was probably in the background going, "Are you sure? Are you sure, Pamela? Are you sure this is what we want to do? Are you sure? I don't know how this is going to work out." Right?
And then there are the cravings, because both Friday night and Saturday night, I thought, boy, I could really use a glass of wine. Like, I really want that. And I got through it, and I remember what Corinne said, that like your feelings just kind of come and go, and like just hang
That's
in
right.
there, and you don't have to
That's right.
believe everything your brain tells you.
That's right. That's right. I would, if I were you, if this is the work you want to do, I would totally do it. But I would see what applies to drinking and what applies to eating and see how much you can encapsulate at the same time. Okay. But remember, habit change is, it takes work. And habit change will make your habit brain just a little bit nervous. And it will start to justify things like, are you sure? We always have a glass of wine. Why are we doing that? It'll start throwing up reasons that you're just going to have to counteract with your conscious thinking. No, I don't want to have a drink tonight. I want to see what this is going to be like. It's almost like MJ talks about ping ponging. Have you heard her talk about ping
Yeah.
ponging? That's what you need to do when your habit brain is like, but we want wine. Then you come back in and say, oh no, well, tonight I think we're going to skip it and have a mocktail instead. Why? Why are we going to skip it? Because this is what I've decided and that's okay. Just start ping ponging with those cravings and those emotions and that habit brain and just see how far that gets you. Okay?
Yeah, and I know our brain wants us to do the same thing over and over again.
It
So my
just,
brain is saying, like, why are you doing something different?
yeah. It just, our habit brains just want efficiency. They take care of us with efficiency.
Yeah.
And so when we change things, it takes a lot of conscious brain activity to make the change and to settle down the habit brain. But you got it.
Okay, well, thank you for the support.
You're
I
welcome. You're
appreciate it.
welcome. Holler at us and ask coaches if you need more, okay?
Okay, great.
All
Thanks.
right. See ya. Emily Jones. Are you coming? Okay, here she comes. I love MJ's comment about. I love the way she talks about ping ponging, and I love the way she talks about scooching. So scooching would be those little bitty steps forward, right? Those little bitty level ups. You're scooching closer to your goal. So Southern. Emily, are you having trouble connecting? Need you to unmute and start your video. Give you another minute or so. Yeah, MJ does have great ideas. She's a hoot. There you are. Ah, perfect. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
So, just listening to everybody else, I feel like I've been really disconnected from no BS since starting school, and I'm not sure how to get back on track. I feel like I've done a lot of overeating from the stress of school and also going out more than I did when I was at home. And also being in a different state.
Okay. So are you in school this summer?
Yes, I've been in school since January.
Since January. Okay. What feels like a reasonable amount of time with your schoolwork for you to spend on no BS? That will help us frame the best route for you to reintegrate.
I'm in school from 8 to 5, but it's a lot of physical, and I'm at a school for the blind, so it's a lot of it's a lot of physical and mental works, and so by the time I get home, I'm done.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And so when you get home and you're done, is that when you're overeating?
Yes.
Okay. Here's what I want you to do, Emily. I want you to find a way when you get home to relax before you eat. Is that
Okay.
possible?
Yeah.
You got 5 or 6 minutes to pull in some of those grounding things, maybe sit and breathe, sit outside for a minute. What do you think makes sense?
Yeah, I can go on my phone and just scroll for things or, go on YouTube.
Is that relaxing to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So if you relax a little bit, you are less likely to overeat. You're less likely to just eat to relax. Okay, so in this transition period that we're creating for you after you get home, what if you were to listen to one of the Corinne 365 episodes, or listen to it while you're scrolling, to kind of reintegrate with what she's teaching this month about weight loss. How does that sound?
Yeah, or or I'll try to listen to it, before I go to school too, sometimes.
Yeah. So before you go to school is a great idea too. That's when you can think through what you're going to eat for the day, how you're going to have your own back through the day through the eating, whether you're going to eat when you're hungry or stop at enough, when you're going to get your water in. You can think through that as well. And then when you get home, you can, think about how you're going to relax and show up for yourself in the evening. See? It doesn't have to be super labor intensive. That's what's so cool about it. Okay? You can do a lot of this just by being present with how you want to show up for yourself.
And then like for dinner, I'll have whatever I want, and then my the gossip bars, but then I feel like I have to have something else too.
So tell me that again. After dinner, when did you say, what did you say?
I have their they're like these Greek yogurt bars,
Okay.
but
Oh,
then I
the
feel
Yotso
like
bar. That's what, okay,
yeah,
that's what I didn't understand. So I'm fine with that, but what I want you to,
but then I feel like I need to have something else then too.
why do you have to have something else? Are you
Not
hungry?
much. No.
So what do you think the reason is that you have to have something else?
I'm not sure. Probably just because I want it.
Maybe. Is it part of relaxing? Is it a habit?
Yes.
It's a habit. So, do you know the easiest way to disrupt a habit?
No.
It's changed the process. Okay. So, let's back up to dinner. You have dinner and you have your Yasso bar, right? And you stop at enough after the Yasso bar.
Yes.
Then later on, you want something else?
No, like right after the Yasso bar.
Oh, after the Yasso bar, you want something else. Okay.
Yes.
So, what if you get up from the table or change rooms or step outside and
Well,
say, you know what?
it's one big room, so I really can't go
Okay.
to it.
Just change, then change locations in the room. Tell
Okay.
yourself, after Yasso bar, we're done eating. I've had enough. This is the easiest way for me to lose weight. And that's ultimately what the goal is, right? So maybe that's the thought that my ultimate goal is to lose weight, and that is more important to me than eating one more thing after my Yasso bar. Because very often we trade our ultimate desire for a little bit of short-term craving, short-term urge.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
Yeah.
All right, so what are you willing to try? What are you willing to try after you finish your Yasso bar, after you've had enough at dinner, to give yourself a few minutes to think about, is that what I really want, or do I want weight loss? What are you going to do in the pause?
Yeah, just think, that, I want the weight loss, and just say, I'm done, and I'm good for the day.
Okay, that works. What is it something you usually eat? Do you always eat the same thing, or is it just anything?
Like for dinner?
No, after the Yasso bar.
It's usually something sweet.
Okay, so so maybe you tell yourself a second dessert is not as important tonight as weight loss is.
Okay.
Tell me how that feels to you. Does it feel doable?
Yeah.
Okay, here's what I want you to do, Emily. I want you to try that for a couple of nights and then email me and ask coaches and tell me how it's going. If it's going
Okay.
swimmingly, we know that we have solved it for you. But if you're having a lot of trouble with it, we know where your next level of work is, okay?
Okay.
All right. You good?
Yep.
Okay. Good luck. I can't wait to hear from
Okay.
you.
All right.
All right. See ya.
Okay.
Elaine? See if she's coming. Yep, here she comes. Thought she was coming. Yep, yeah, she is. Awesome. Elaine, can you hear me? I wish Zoom wasn't so slow. Elaine might be having trouble connecting. Hey, Elaine, I'm going to change you back to attendee. Whatever question you have, please, please, please take to ask coaches, okay? Let us help you over there. I think she is stuck. Jackie, let's see if we can get you pulled up. I'll keep working on Elaine. For some reason, Jackie don't know. Oh, Jackie declined. Okay. Oh, and Elaine is back. Oh, this is crazy, y'all. Elaine, can you hear me? Okay, Jackie, let's try you again. Okay, you declined again. All right. Oh, maybe Elaine is here. This is crazy. Are you here, Elaine? Let's see if we can get you unmuted.
You hear me?
Yes, I'm not sure why I can hear you because it looks like you're muted. Looks like you have a very weak Zoom signal. So let's see how far we can get here. Yeah, Elaine, I don't think this is going to work for you. I think your signal is too weak. So you go to Ask Coaches for me, okay?
I can hear.
Lisa, I'm going to promote you to co-host so that you can help me get Elaine back to a, oh, she's gone now. Back to panelist. Okay, Gareen, let's do you real quick. Well, I said real quick, y'all, if you could hear my heart beating. All good. Breathe. Breathe with me, y'all. Breathe with me. There you are. Thank goodness.
Hey, time is a charm.
All right, what
Hello.
you got? Let's do this quick, girl.
Yes, I just came from my 2 mile walk. Today is June 1st. I am planning on getting more consistent, and hopefully, June will be better for me than the past few months.
Well,
The
how about
past
just
few,
decide it's going to be?
it's yeah,
June's gonna
it's
be
kind of.
awesome, y'all. Let's just all decide. June's gonna be
Yes.
awesome.
And while I was on my walk, this thought kept coming up to me while I was listening to your session today, is that I have this doubt that can I lose my regain? I've been in OBS since March of 2020. I've lost the first year and a half, I lost about 65 pounds, but I've gained majority of it back, and I don't feel good. Like in my own body, every time I put on my clothes, I just don't like getting up in the morning and putting my clothes, knowing they're gonna not fit me right. It's so I just overall, I'm also going through menopause. I feel like I gotta go get, blood tests done and all that. But I just overall, I'm in this mentally down place, and I have a lot of doubt. Will I
Okay.
be able to lose the regain? I know no BS is the only thing that has worked for me in the past. I like logically, I know it works, but will I be able to do it again a second time is a
All
thought
right.
that is coming up.
That's not a thought, it's a question.
It's a question.
You've asked it 3 times now, I counted. Will I be able to lose this regain? So I want you to answer the question.
I know I can.
Oh, bingo, right? If you're spinning with, will I lose this regain? Will I lose this weight? Am I going to be able to do this? Your brain is going to start looking for answers, right? And if you don't answer it, you've got an open loop, which
Definitely
means
an open one.
you're just going to create more and more stress around whether or not you're going to get an answer to that question. And eventually, what's going to happen is your habit brain's going to come in and go, oh, girl, you know, it's going to be hard. Maybe we should go back to Weight Watchers. Maybe we should try Jenny Craig. Maybe we should get on the Pinterest and only eat broccoli and lettuce. Right? That's what's going to happen if you don't take control of the question and answer it. And you just had the most beautiful answer. I know I will. Okay. So the next question is, what's my first step? How am I going to do this? Well, you just walked 2 miles. That's beautiful. What's the next step to losing the regain? One step at a time, one scooch, as MJ would say, one scooch at a time. What's the next one?
I want to do the emotional eating course because that's, again, I think my downfall is nighttime eating. Like if those doubts come to my mind, and all I do is I go to the pantry and try to figure out what other thing that I can eat that are going to calm me down
And I would
or.
bet you're going to the pantry because you haven't created the certainty in your mind that you're going to take care of the regain.
Correct.
Right? Right?
Yeah, I have not created a plan. I have not created the steps to get myself back to that place. So instead of just doing the work of creating that plan, I just avoid it by having the next bite or the next snack, or even though I'm not hungry. I'm
Yeah.
just like, it's this vicious cycle, I feel.
It's the cycle because of the open loop, because you're not sure, because you haven't decided to take that step into what am I going to do with this weight? I'm going to, you know, how am I going to pull it off? The answer is always the four basics at first, right? Guess what? I can get 64 ounces of water in today. I bet, you know, that I'll start with that small habit and build on that. I'll get myself in bed so I can be in bed for 7 hours tonight. Then that small habit. And while you're doing those things, maybe you're studying the NoBS course again. Maybe you're taking nighttime eating. Maybe you're taking emotional eating. Maybe you're coming to the new regain call that's next week, right? You know, those are the things that you surround yourself with after you answer the question. Of course, I'm going to take care of this regain. This is the only thing that's ever worked for me. I know it works.
Part of my thought was, well, I can start again, like with the NoBS course, but then I'm thinking, is that really gonna, am I gonna get any traction from that? Because I already know what the four basics are. Like what is standing in my way
You might
to
know what the four basics are, but what the No BS course is going to do is help you up restart applying them again, start actually moving into action to do them again. Okay? It's just like we talked earlier on this call. You can consume all the information you want. That's great. But until you actually use the information in real life, in real time, you're pretty much going to stand still. So
And
for
that's
you,
what I've been doing.
yeah. So
Or gaining.
for you, it's closing that loop on your question, am I gonna be able to lose this regain? And you've done that. You gave me a beautiful thought, right? Of course I'm gonna do this. Of course I know how to do this. Right? And then it's taking what you know and actually recreating, reactivating, that's a better word, reactivating the habits that you had when you lost it, the 65. Okay.
Yeah, I definitely have learned that, I created great new habits to get me the weight loss, but I never knew that you can also go backwards and lose some of that habit if you don't,
You, here's
keep
the
at it.
thing, your brain doesn't lose habits. It just puts them in a file cabinet for you to reactivate. You've created a
Okay.
habit. It's in there. You just gotta pull it back out and commit to it. Okay?
That's the better thought. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Look, I want you to re-listen to the call when I asked you what the answer was, and I want you to write that thought down word by word because it came out of your mouth, and put it at the top of your plan every day. Okay?
Okay.
And then next week at 12:30 Central, Corinne has a brand new regain call. And I bet you can get some nuggets out of that one too.
Yes. Thank you so
Okay?
much, Kathy.
You're
Thank you.
welcome. You're
Bye-bye.
welcome. All right, everybody. I got through them all. Except for the people that couldn't get called up. Y'all go to Ask Coaches. We got you. We got you. We'll figure this out. Don't forget the nervous system call on Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Central, an hour later than the normal Tuesday night calls. I will be there. I will teach you all the things about why you get these urges to eat. My calm and confident girls know what I'm going to teach, but you can never hear it too many times, right? And have a great day. Have a great week. Come see us in Ask Coaches. Holler at us in the Facebook group if we can help you with anything, okay? All right. Y'all take care. Thanks for being here.